Welcome to The After Party, the weekly follow-up to sermons from Harbor of Hope Christian Church in Chelmsford, Massachusetts. We sit down every Sunday with the pastor who spoke and dive deeper into the topic from each week. Without further ado, join the party. Welcome, everybody, to the after party. It is week four of quarantine, or at least no church in person. It is me and Amy here again, back with you this week.
So, some things cannot be canceled, like the after party podcast.
No way.
They will not cancel us.
No, we got to keep going.
Yes.
No matter what. Except for, you know, two episodes ago, but that's just a timing thing.
Don't tell them.
Anyway, Amy, today we had a great gathering of our people, with our people, and you spoke on what it looks like to love deeply in the time of coronavirus. So would you give us 60 seconds or less of summary of what you spoke on?
Sure, I'll try. Usually you say 60 seconds or less, and like 4 minutes later, I'm like, how was that? But I'll try to actually keep it quick. Yeah, we're spending these few weeks talking about our vision as a church, which is to live fully, love deeply, and give freely, which sounds all fine and good most of the time. But now that we're like sheltered in place and isolated from other people and on the brink of losing everything, those phrases feel unfamiliar. And so today we talked about how we are to love deeply when loving hurts. The original title for this sermon was Loving Deeply When It Hurts Like Hell. I'm going to be honest. I didn't say that today in church, but that is how I feel. The relationships I have, the people that I am used to loving, it hurts more to love them. Like I look at my kids even, and I feel like this kind of love-fueled pain just because the world is so messy right now. And yeah, loving people hurts a lot right now. And so how are we supposed to love deeply when we kind of have every reason to fear loving people deeply, and it's hard and it hurts? And we talked about the fact that it's Palm Sunday, and today marks the moment in Scripture at the beginning of Holy Week when Jesus marches into Jerusalem on a donkey and intentionally takes that first giant step towards being betrayed and captured and crucified and ultimately resurrected. And it's the beginning of Holy Week, which is a really incredible point in the liturgical calendar. And it is a week where we get to kind of draw upon the feelings of the apostles and the bystanders at the time and feel their feelings. And I have never lived a year of holy, like a Holy Week year, where it's been quite as accessible as now. Like the just like overwhelming grief and just completely halted expectations and flipped upside down worlds that the people in Jesus's time were feeling this week is so closely what we're feeling now that it is, I think, an outstanding gift that we have to experience Holy Week in a time like this. And I thank God for that and for what he's going to do in our hearts this week, even though it hurts. So
great.
Yeah. Yay.
Now,
pain.
Can you tell me, yay, pain.
Yay, pain.
It's commonplace these days. And what does it mean that loving hurts? Like, so my perspective is that right now, loving people takes an extra amount of energy. Mm-hmm. One, because it's harder, we're more separated, and also because there's more pain to address and to approach in love. That's my perspective. I don't know if that's exactly what you meant. If you have more thoughts on that, I'd love to hear them.
Yeah, I have never lived through a time when every like nook and cranny of my life has been touched by like a single event. I don't know. Right now, so no matter what relationship we're talking about, there's additional strain being put on it by this situation. So for many of us. Like I think about my work colleagues and I miss them so much. I love work. Like I love where I work. I love the people I work with so much. I don't think I really even realized how much I love the people that I work with and count on seeing them and laughing with them and hearing from them every day. So there's longing in those relationships. I still see them on a screen, but I miss them. And so there's longing attached to that kind of love, right? I'm also, I will say, stuck. Although what I mean is tremendously blessed to be safe at home with my family, my beautiful family, who I love so much. My husband is the best ever. I've got these two perfect children. They're wonderful, but we're stumbling all over each other every day. And there's too much that we have to do all at one time. My husband's a teacher. I work for a school. And our daughter's in first grade. We're like all busy at the same time, trying to do important things at the same time. Right. And then we have this two-year-old who just needs stuff all the time. We're stumbling all over each other. There is like not enough space between us. So where there's too much space between me and my work colleagues, there's not enough space between me and my family to kind of function the way, just the way we're used to functioning. And that is strained. That becomes exhausting. That's like a lot of logistics. It's a lot of color coding. It's a lot of like negotiation and exasperation from the kids. I mean, my kids are strained and exhausted and scared. And there's just a lot of feeling that comes up there. But then I also think about my friends who are healthcare workers or who work in grocery stores or who are truck drivers, who are these essential workers who wake up and they leave their families. You know, here I am, like my families, we're all stumbling over each other. And I have these friends who would give anything to be stumbling over their families all day. And every single one of us, no matter what kind of situation we're in, is strained. All of the people that we are used to loving are now harder for us to love for different reasons. And whether that's because we are so sad not to be with them or goodness gracious, some of us know people. This past week, I lost the first person I knew personally to COVID-19. Wow. It won't be the last either, I don't think. And you know, there are people everywhere who are suffering through that loss and not being able to be with their person when they pass. A friend of mine from high school just had a baby. My friend is a man and his wife gave birth and he couldn't be with her. Because, you know, like there are these kind of beautiful parts of life that are just sort of tangled up in a little extra pain. So where your average new dad would be able to experience the complexity of like the birth of their first child. And there's all the feelings wrapped up in that, to be then like not able to be there is just like a new level of, that's tiring. There's like a lot of extra strain. So this is part of why I feel like the coronavirus, this is like the enemy written all over it. It is straining our loving relationships in new ways. And we have to love deeper. Because of that, to kind of prevail.
Ironically, both through pushing us closer together as family units is hurting our relationships and pulling us apart in isolation.
Both
sides of that coin are making love loving deeply hard.
And I'm taking for granted all of the parts of my life that make me feel safe at home. There are a lot of children and a lot of women and men who don't feel safe at home, who live in abusive situations, who are trapped there. So imagine their loving relationships and how strained. I can't even put myself in that kind of body to fully understand it, but I am just so deep in prayer for people who feel unsafe in this situation too. So there is just, how does love hurt? Gosh, we could talk about that for the entire podcast. There is a lot. Sure. It is complicated, and love is always complicated. But right now, it's just got this extra layer of exhaustion wrapped around it.
Yes, it does.
Yeah.
So you talked about molecules, Jesus molecules being lit up between us. And which I'll let you touch on in a second. But so correct me if I'm wrong. Your basic idea was that Jesus, even though we're far apart, every connection we have has Jesus in between it, Jesus lighting up in between it. And it reminded me of this metaphor that I had heard from Richard Rohr, where we view outer space as darkness, complete darkness, but in reality, there is no complete darkness anywhere, because there's always some, maybe light photons in those pockets. There's some essence of light in that darkness, so there's never any full complete darkness, mm-hmm. which is so indicative of this God who the very first thing he did was say, let there be light. And he is light. He is the light of the world and the light of the universe. And so there is no place in that metaphor where Christ is absent. There is no place in the universe where there is darkness or absence of Christ. And so I love that metaphor into that. Of course, Christ is lighting up our relationships and igniting connection and love between us, because he is always there.
Wow. I'm letting that sink in. You had said that to me once. I mean, I think like when we were reviewing the sermon a week or so ago, you mentioned that quote, but I didn't connect it to Genesis 1 until you just said that there. And that's just tremendous. Yeah. I talked about the verse in Matthew 18 where Jesus says that where two or more of you gather, that's where I am. Yeah. And we use that, I think we kind of wrongfully actually, like we misapply that verse constantly.
As we do with most, most verses.
But like not in a destructive way. I don't think we misapply that verse in a destructive way. I think that we actually use it to speak something that is true, just not exactly where that verse was intended to be speaking truth. Where we talk about that, we talk about it in terms of like worship and gathering people together in the name of Jesus to worship. But it's a verse that's actually directed towards people who are in conflict, where Jesus is talking about how even if you're fighting with another person that loves me, I am there. I am in the space between you, even when you're at odds with one another. Yeah. And what's really cool is that in a time like this, where maybe we're not at odds with each other, but maybe we are. I mean, I'm talking about stumbling over, you know, the people in my family all day long, like even when we're irritated, because like if my husband doesn't color code the right thing in our family Google calendar and I think something's happening that isn't happening and we fall off schedule, you better believe that I'm like sassy texting him. I'm the worst. You should all be glad you're not married to me. But like, even in those moments where we're just like frustrated and bumping up against each other, that Jesus is there despite that, connecting us. Mm-hmm. Like, we can't be pulled apart because we're unified in our love for him.
Yeah.
Also, when we're far away from people that we love, there are people that I haven't seen. I talk to my family, you know, on Zoom. My family's, no one lives locally. And I'm looking at my 70-year-old parents and I'm like, gosh, like I hope we can see each other again. I don't mean to be like hyperbolically dark, but just that thought crosses my mind.
Sure.
Even then, we are not fully separated. Like, we are connected. There is something that binds us together. Physical space and peace and laughter aren't the only things that connect us, you know, with one another, that Jesus is the space between us. And all we have to do is activate him. Like, we just have to, when we pray, we call upon him to just light that space up with light and connect us and invigorate it and provide the energy that we need to then turn that love into something that like redeems the world. So, yeah, that's what I meant by I'm rambling now a little bit.
No, that's great. So then the question is not how do we activate Jesus, but how do we, knowing that Jesus is there working with us, working through us, present in our relationships, how then do we love deeply? What is that? process?
I think we have to be brave. We have to do hard things, which is, that's the thing. In a time like this, it actually becomes very easy to retreat. Mm-hmm. It becomes easy to ignore the people that we miss, or ignore what's hard about missing those people, because it's easier. Like, it would be easier for me to just pretend like it was normal and not talk to my family more often, because, mm-hmm. you know, we don't live nearby. Time does pass in between the times that we see each other. We're talking more than usual, though, because there's a threat on our mm-hmm. being able to spend, there's a limit. There's a potential limit to the amount of time we get to spend with each other. And that limit is really hard to deal with, but dealing with it is better than not dealing with it. My family that's stumbling over each other all day long. Mm-hmm. Like, we have to be brave in persevering through that and not letting our frustrations get the best of us, and like taking the time to organize our life and tell each other that we love each other and reassure our children. That is hard. It would be easier to just get frustrated and count down until we can send the kids back to school. But
right.
What's better actually is spending the time investing in helping our family get stronger. I think about healthcare workers and grocery store workers who drive away from their people every day and despair. Right. And it would be easier to not go to work, to quit. And they don't. And they do the hard thing to love people deeply and to like give back to the world. Just everything, every choice we make now is harder. And we have to do the hard thing. We have to mm-hmm. be willing to be brave. And love despite the threat placed on that love by the situation.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not easy, but.
We have to be brave. We have to be brave because it's new.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we knew how to love people. We knew how to be present, and oftentimes present to the bare minimum of our, like to the bare minimum extent that we had to. Sometimes, like, we could show up when we needed to. We knew our boundaries, we knew our processes, we knew our habits. And now it is just so different, because we none of that is there anymore. Now we have to love people by going out of our way to say hi, to make a Zoom call, to schedule time out of our otherwise Netflix time, or make time when we want to rest after work mm-hmm. to be there for people, for our family, to find. I think the thing that has been most helpful and the most difficult is finding new communication styles with people who are not close, of saying like, okay, well, we don't have face-to-face time now, and we hear each other differently over text, so we need to have FaceTime mm-hmm. or we need to be more communicative about how we feel or what the underlying messages of what we're saying, because we don't have that normal pattern. And so the new style, new love, requires more effort inherently.
Yeah.
And that's work relationships, family relationships, romantic relationships, all of it is there.
It also requires a like renewed or like double down on vulnerability. Because I think the more, I mean, we have to go out of our way, obviously, to maintain some of these relationships, but we also have to be willing to be vulnerable to the potential pain. Like,
right.
The potential that someone you love might get sick, that's a vulnerability that we could ignore, but to love that person as deeply as they need to be loved right now, we have to be vulnerable to that potential pain and fear.
Right.
And that takes a tremendous amount of bravery, too. So I think there's a lot of depth and vulnerability in relationships and in the way that we love one another that is required always. And we are becoming kind of re-sensitized to that at this point.
I agree.
Yeah.
Well, we are at about 25 minutes. So are there any thoughts or... you know, anything else we haven't touched on about loving people in a time of crisis that you would like to discuss?
I just want to remind everyone that Jesus lived a life marked by love. Everything he did was deep love. And everything he did was done in a time of crisis. He was born into a politically critical time. He was born and raised, and he grew up in a culture that was very volatile. It was not a peaceful time. It wasn't like they were sunbathing on the beaches of the Sea of Galilee. Mm-hmm. Like,
right.
He was in perpetual crisis and loved deeply. So anytime we see Jesus loving deeply, being vulnerable with other people, meeting people where they're at, taking the riskier path to accepting and welcoming and embracing people, that all was done in crisis. We can read the entirety of the Gospels through that lens, and remembering that at a time like this is beautiful. It's gracious. How amazing it is that God gave us a picture of the fullness and the perfection of his love in the midst of the Roman, I mean, like, just gross culture, you know, like crisis all the time. Remember that. Jesus, the model of Jesus, is not a love that he provided in a time of just peace and prosperity. The whole story of Jesus happens during crisis. And so find comfort in that. Pick up your Bible, open it up, and be met exactly where you are right now by the word of God.
Beautiful. And so don't let this time of crisis keep you in fear of love, but let it inspire love.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Amen.
Amen. Let's get out of here.
All right. Love you, Harbor.
Yeah. Love you guys.
And guests.
Yeah. Peace out.
Cub Scout.
Thank you for joining the After Party. You can follow our sermon series online at harborofhope.org, and you can party with us again next week wherever you listen to your podcasts. If you're in the area, please visit us at Harbor of Hope Christian Church on Sundays at 9:30 or 11. Party on.